Good afternoon. Welcome to the weekly livestock market update. I'm Brownfield anchor reporter Megan Grebner with us as always to talk all things markets, University of Missouri, Scott Brown. Good afternoon, Scott.
Good afternoon, Megan.
Whew, it is a busy week for us. So for us to get underway and to make sure we get everything covered, let's recap what happened this week in the markets.
Yeah, on the cattle side of the equation this week, live fed cattle prices were down about $2 on the week. Those feeder cattle markets were anywhere from steady to $2 higher this week. On the futures side, the August live cattle futures contract was up nearly a dollar. And the August feeder cattle futures contract was up about $4.25 on the week. On the corn side, we saw another slide down in corn futures this week. The September corn futures down 7.5 cents. On the beef side, the choice box beef price down nearly $6 this week. You know, that still leaves it $64 above where we were a year ago at this time. On the hog side, cash barrel and milk prices for the week were down nearly $2. The August lean hog futures contract closed up $1.60. Pork cutout value is also higher this week, up nearly $4 as we got a pretty good jump in pork belly prices this week.
It definitely has been interesting watching the box beef prices. We've been on a pretty downward slide for quite some time, but it looks like for the last couple of days, we're at least starting to see a little bit of support trickle back into it.
Yeah, let's hope, Megan, we actually continue to maybe to see some support there. I know there's always the concern about the difference between cattle prices and beef prices, but we certainly don't want that to correct by only lower beef prices going forward.
All right. Weekly slaughter numbers. We continue to monitor and see how those are weighing out. Let's talk a little bit about the week's numbers for both cattle and hogs.
Yeah, for the week ending July 24th, we have a run of 652,000 head of cattle. It's actually down 1,000 head or down slightly from where we were a week ago, up 12,000 head from where we were a year ago. On the hog side, a run of 2.332 million head of hogs. This week, that's 52,000 head higher than where we were a week ago, but down 244,000 head from where we were a year ago. If we stop and look at that year to date, which you and I have been doing here for a while, so cattle slaughter now up 4.6%, so we're continuing to see that be lower, and hog slaughter year to date down 0.6%.
All right, cold storage is the first report we're going to dig into today as we take a look at those numbers. I think the one thing that we're seeing is supplies are down.
That's right. You know, you look at total red meat supplies at the end of June, down more than 4% relative to where we were at the end of May, and down more than 7% from where we were a year ago. So all good news in terms of those ending stocks. I think, you know, two things here, both maybe meat production that's starting to slow, red meat production starting to slow a little bit, but also stronger demand has also got to be a part of that picture as well. You know, you look at beef stocks at the end of June, they were at their lowest level we've seen in nearly 7 years. Pork stocks also continue to be low. You know, we've talked about this for a few months now, but we've seen pork stocks really continue to be well below year-ago levels, suggesting some fairly tight markets there.
How important, knowing that, is it that we don't see a supply disruption, or we don't see anything that could potentially tighten those stocks even more, or I hate the word shortage, but potentially impact what consumers and producers see at the meat shop?
So I think you're right to suggest that there's still upward pressure on retail meat prices as these stocks remain fairly tight. We don't need any kind of major disruption, I guess is the way I'll try to add an adjective here to the discussion, only because, you know, we see a lot of meat that never sees stocks. So we don't have any real buffer here to offset what might be a major disruption. And there's the issue that one could face if something were to happen to create that major disruption. It just, again, I always go, I'd much rather be in this tight situation from a producer standpoint. It just means maybe more chances for higher prices going ahead, not lower prices. From a consumer standpoint, the last thing you want to have happen is some type of disruption that caused major increases in those prices to the point that you get consumers to start to shift towards other products. That they may not have a lot of choice there, but you don't want them to go away from beef and pork.
Livestock slaughter is our next report this week. And I think it's interesting watching slaughter weights. A year ago, we were talking about them being so high, but they have continued to decline.
Yeah, that's right. You look at what we got out of the livestock slaughter report, federally inspected dressed cattle weights for June were 815 pounds. That's only making now 10 pounds above the 2015 to 2019 average. And it's the first time we've maybe been that close to history for a long time, down about 10 pounds from where we were in May. So all heading in the right direction. Similarly, on the hog side, 212 pounds, federally inspected dressed hog weight for June. That's down about 3 pounds from where we were in May. And we're only now a couple of pounds above that 2015 to 2019 average when you look at the June number. So both cattle and hogs, those lower weights, that's going to help us in terms of meat supplies. We're going to tighten those meat supplies if those trends continue going forward. And I don't see any reason to think they're going to abruptly change the pattern that they're on. And really last year, again, sticks out just how much we increased weights as we were slowing both cattle and hogs to the slaughter plant, trying to deal with the slowdown shutdowns of 2020.
I think the other thing we need to talk about as we take a look at livestock slaughter, the beef cow numbers. And I also want to talk about the impact of drought.
Yeah, so there's certainly the numbers we've got out in terms of beef cow slaughter keeps telling me we're liquidating cows. If you look at the second quarter numbers that we have available to us now, total beef cow slaughter, almost 3% of that beginning January 1 cow number. We'd have to go back to about 2013 to find a level greater than that. So remember the 2012 drought would be the other time there. We would have been maybe a little north of 3.4%. So 3% is getting within shouting distance of that. I think drought has a lot to do with it. You know, you look at some of the data now in terms of pasture conditions. The U.S. That's in an extreme or an exceptional drought is at the highest percentage we've seen since that data actually began in 2000. So it gives you just a good sense of how severe the drought has been in some of these western regions, as well as the Dakotas, more generally the northern plains. Not only are we seeing a big expanse of red when you think about that drought map, if you will, but the intensity of the drought is really showing in that fact about the percentage that's in extreme or exceptional drought.
It's a good transition into our next report, which kind of a piggyback of big ones today. Cattle inventory and cattle on feed reports both came out. Let's start first with cattle inventory. This is that biannual report, comes out in January. This is the July report. What are some takeaways from these numbers?
Well, I'd say, you know, this is the tale of two cities again. Drought matters here. We're really starting to, I think, see some of the effects of drought in this data. If you look at total cattle and calves as of July 1, the report gave us down 1.3%. That was actually outside the range of pre-report estimates, and the average pre-report estimate was down 0.5%. So I think the additional reduction we're seeing is certainly being affected by just some of the dry weather that we're seeing. Almost all of those categories related to beef cows were either at the very low end of the pre-report estimate or fell outside the low end. Dairy was kind of the outlier, but beef cows down 2%. That's, again, outside the range of pre-report estimates. The pre-report estimate average would have been down 1.1. I say tale of two cities because if you're not setting in those drought areas, this is likely good news that's coming at the expense of your cattle neighbors, because it could spell some higher prices down the road. It's the bad news if you're setting in those drought areas, because it just means you're having to make liquidation decisions that you probably otherwise wouldn't have made. Now, you know, I don't want to put all of this on the drought. I know economics haven't been that good for some, but I think the drought's really been the cause of what we're seeing. I just keep saying, you know, this could really help us as we get later in 2022-2023 to see higher cattle prices. It helps those that have cattle to sell. That's the sad part of this. Now, for those that want 2014 feeder cattle prices to return again, let's just be clear that we're a far cry from where we were back in 2014. You know, I was looking at a little bit of data earlier. Back in 2014, cattle less than 500 pounds in that July report of 2014 came in at 25,700. Today's report, we would have seen that same less than 500 pound category at 27,400. So still almost 2 million head difference there. So those that are waiting or wishing for 2014 feeder cattle prices this fall might want to hope for another year here.
That's going to dovetail us into cattle on feed. And we talked a little bit about this whole liquidation thing. And I think when we get into this report too, there's a big sign that's suggesting that liquidation is happening. But let's start first and talk about these numbers, specifically the placed in June.
Yeah, so if you look at what we got out of the report, it came in at 92.9 of a year ago. So below the average pre-report estimate, not outside the range, but placements down considerably relative to where we were last year. Again, don't want to forget, we would have been holding calves that finally got placed in June because of COVID-19 last year. So a little hard to do this comparison. On feed as of July 1, down 1.3%. That also was slightly below the pre-report average. But again, all of those things pointing to fewer cattle maybe starting to show up. So I think drought's going to play an issue here as well. I'm curious how much sooner we may be seeing some feeder cattle start to head to feed yards from the drought areas, as again, they have to make some decisions about how many cows to keep, how many calves to keep, and how they want to try to manage what's going to be a very limited forage and pasture supply situation for them.
And how many heifers they want to keep as well.
That's right. You know, you look at the report, we get another estimate of percentage of heifers on feed. It came in a little more than 38% again this quarter. We've got now several quarters in a row of 37.5 and above. It just tells me, both from a cow slaughter standpoint and percentage of heifers you see on feed, we're not building. We're going to have less numbers going forward. Again, I think that's higher prices. I always will say getting higher prices through less supplies is not really the outcome I want to see, but I think that's what we have as we look ahead here.
Phew, it's a lot of information to take in this week.
We covered a lot of ground in a pretty short period of time this week, Megan.
We did. And if you ever have questions, comments, things you want to submit, you want Scott to answer, you can do those at brownfieldagnews.com and submit questions and comments there as well. Scott, as we look ahead to next week, a much briefer or less stuff. There's less reports to talk about next Friday.
That's right. After this week's pretty full load of reports, we'll just talk about Restaurant Performance Index next Friday, which I'm curious to watch, just given, you know, some of the things we see going on with COVID, and we need to keep that demand side going. Last thing we need is a slowdown as we get more concern about these additional cases of COVID-19 in some parts of the country that are unfolding.
It'll be interesting to have that conversation and to talk more about that demand picture. Scott, great to see you.
Great to see you as well, Megan.
So have our weekly livestock market update delivered to your email box every Saturday morning. Go to brownfieldagnews.com and click and click subscribe. And you can also submit questions and comments, as we mentioned earlier. Have a great weekend. I'm Megan Grebner for Brownfield.